afford to be. This is small town music, this is big town music. He's ahead of his time, you know, but he can't use it. If only he could prove it. Well, tomorrow's just a song away, a song away, a song away.
Hey everybody, welcome to Rock Solid, your comedy podcast for all things music, both new and classic. I'm Pat Francis.
And I'm Gary Lucy. Pat.
Hey.
Guess who else is here?
Old Matt Belknap is always here.
Hi.
Pat was just regaling us with a little bit of him and Jimmy Pardo's Hot Tub Club.
Oh, yeah. Hot Tub Club. We would, our first apartment we lived in, we didn't know that you weren't supposed to sit in a hot tub for 6 hours straight and just drink the whole time you're in there. And that's what we would do. We would do that, and then we would go up and get a great, excellent night's sleep, Gary.
Thinking about you two on the prowl. I've been thinking about that a lot.
I don't know if we were on the prowl.
Well, no, I guess you were.
Because we were in the hot tub just with ourselves and our other guy friends.
You're like trapdoor spiders.
Yeah. I didn't want to mislead you to think that Hot Tub Club included women.
Oh,
I'm sure it was discussed. It just never happened.
Exactly.
If you had to sit down and you were at the world's longest dinner party,
okay,
how many stories do you think you have in your life? You probably have, everybody has 10 or 12 good stories probably.
I don't know. I often don't think I have that many good stories.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think I have two.
Really?
No, I don't know. I like
with, that don't involve Cheap Trick.
Yeah, I don't, then zero.
Okay, no.
Mike Schmidt, he does, hours and hours and hours of podcasting a week.
Yeah.
And that guy never seems to run out of stories. I don't have that many. At least not one.
Isn't it more about what you, how you look at your own life and, I don't know, you could make a story out of anything that happens to you. But
I guess I could. I don't know if I could make it.
It's the way you tell it, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if I could always make it interesting, too. Because did you ever start telling someone a story and then you're in it and you're going, why did I start? This is not a good story at all. Usually I'll just say, I'm sorry, this is not going to end very well. This is not a good story.
So then you switch it to a Designing Women episode that you watched.
Right.
Trying to make it all fit.
Or a Three's Company.
Yeah.
Tell about when we were putting the shower rod up and then our roommate was outside listening in and I kept saying, hi, you have to get it up higher. Oh, your rod is so hard. And they go, what are you doing in here? And they go, oh, sorry.
What a crazy mix-up.
I know.
I thought you were fucking.
I'm a big Lisa Loeb fan, so I have 9 stories.
Oh, you have 9 stories? That's good. You stopped right there.
That's all. I got to 9. I was like, don't need any more stories.
Don't need any more. That'll probably serve you well. You could probably get around on that. Because I used to really be into I got to stockpile them. That means you're alive. That means you're living. But then I realized at some point, I switched to... the purpose of life isn't collecting stories, but avoidance of pain. This, what a great parking place. That was a good story.
And sometimes Pardo, will be playing poker or something. Pardo will go, remember that time? Tell that story about blah, blah, blah. And I'll go, I don't even know what you're talking about. And then he'll have to refresh my memory by telling the story. And then I'll go, oh, yeah, that's right. So sometimes I don't even remember. I think I remember the bad stories. I don't remember the cool, good stories to tell.
I wish I had that gift of gab, and I'm sure our listeners do too, because
they definitely wish that we had a story.
My friend Joe Hansen, oh my god, that guy, just everything he tells is riveting, and it all ends up, and then we're all screaming and the car was on fire or something, it just all ends up like that. But I guess that wasn't intended as a roundabout way to get into the topic, but I guess it fits.
You know what's so funny? I didn't even realize you were getting into the topic.
I wasn't either.
That's how smooth this guy is.
That's how smooth.
True story.
So play my quick intro song.
Yeah.
Literally 5 seconds.
This will tell you more.
What?
Let me tell you a story. That's it.
That's all you need.
So that was a little Aldo Nova.
All right.
That was a monkey on your back, and he's going to tell you a story. But so today, Gary and I are going to play songs that tell a story, almost like 3-act structure.
Yeah.
Beginning,
middle, and end.
Beginning, middle, and end. And this was recommended to us or suggested to us by a listener, Preston Boudreaux, I hope I'm pronouncing that
Preston
right.
Preston Boudreaux, the dandy small town Southern sheriff.
I'm pretty sure that's a character from a John Grisham novel.
Right, you're right.
Preston Boudreaux.
Exactly. And the corrupt DA, right.
And Preston said, you could call it Tell Me a Story or maybe Once Upon a Time. So that's what we're doing, Preston. We're going to do the topic you suggested. And again, suggest topics because I know we did 53 episodes and didn't repeat one topic other than the letters every time. Yeah. But we're going to need some.
Yeah, tweet them at Rock Solid Show or on Facebook, Rock Solid Podcast.
Either which way, man.
So and eventually one will come up. So we're going to play some songs, some story songs. And Gary, you want to go first?
You know, I will, because you mentioned Monkey on Your Back, and this is a story song that destroys me every time I hear it. It's amazing. It's
because it's sad?
It's so sad, and it's kind of like hopeful too. But it's
a lot of story songs are sad. I found
they don't turn out well.
They don't turn out well at all.
The better one. But then we found our keys. That isn't a good ending for a song. And then we got cell phone reception. But this is from the first John Prine album, and it's called Sam Stone, and it's about a Vietnam vet. He's injured. He comes home. And he's got a heroin problem. He's got a monkey on his back, and it's just it's just kind of like regular third person narrative. He's having a hard time, and we kind of heard this story before. But then at the chorus, it does something amazing. It like switches perspective to like from Sam Stone's kids, and like what it's like for them to go through this, and then just kind of like from an observer kind of weighs in, and it's just like holy shit, this is amazing. So Matt, if you would cue that up to about 45, I think we'll. We'll get to that part I was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
45 minutes, that is a long story song.
It's a long story.
With a purple heart and a monkey on his back. There's a hole in daddy's arm where all the money goes. Jesus Christ died for nothing, I suppose. Stop to count the years. Sweet songs never last too long on broken radios.
There's a hole in daddy's arm where all the money goes. That holy is
just,
shit.
That just made my butt pucker. Like, oh no.
Oh, no.
That's terrible. That's what I think. That's how I feel when I look at my DVD collection. Oh, there's the kid's college fund. Well, that's in a collector's tin, so I might be able to resell that on eBay in 20 years when DVDs no longer exist.
You think you could pay for college with DVDs? do they take DVDs in lieu of
I would love that.
Money?
I heard that college, for when our kids are old enough to go to college, college is just going to be up in the cloud.
Yeah.
Probably. Yeah. And it'll, you'll have to basically buy a ticket to the moon. That's how expensive it'll be.
Yes.
Hey, my story song is, this is actually one that Preston, what's his name?
Boudreaux.
I'm tired of saying that fucking kid's name.
Mr. Boudreaux.
No, he actually
has to make a big deal out of it every time you.
I know. This was a song that he used as an example. However, this would have definitely been one of the songs I picked. I remember this video when it came out. It had a Fame vibe. It had a long before Glee.
Yeah.
And this is the song Young Turks by Rod Stewart.
Oh yeah.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to have Matt play the first part, and then we'll jump in and hear how the story ends. So let's go ahead. Okay, so we got two kids.
They got to hit the road. They've had enough of this crap.
They've had enough. They're moving, heading out to L.A. They're going to make it. And let's find out what happens. Jump to 2 minutes and 54 seconds, and we'll hear how this story ends.
Big baby.
That is a big baby.
A big kid.
It's a big baby. It doesn't even rhyme.
No.
Ain't no point in talking when there's nobody listening, so we just ran away. Patty. P.S.
Yeah.
Big baby.
Like you care.
So so that's what happened to these kids. They moved out, and sounds like he's doing the right thing. It doesn't sound like he's leaving, Patty.
I hope not.
I hope not, too.
Yeah, we'll see.
That makes me feel better about the boring stories I've told in my life, because that's really not much of a story.
No.
It's like, oh, okay. You left and then had a baby. What are we supposed to...
I think they ran away.
I get it.
All right.
So?
It's romantic. Romeo and Juliet.
I think you need to see Rod Stewart dance around in some leopard print tighties.
Yeah, you know where I think they shot that video, and correct me if I'm wrong, you know the swingers on Beverly?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think you
Wasn't
might be,
it there?
You might be right.
Whoa. Yeah, where that pool is and everything. Yeah.
That's hysterical.
That place has been there that long? That's crazy.
Oh, yeah. Well, not in this, but you know, in the little like
that hotel,
CD motel.
Yeah, that's from 1981, so
that's
I imagine.
That's where that 10-pound baby was
born.
Yes.
I wonder if there's another chapter where they left it in a
Young Turks.
We left that baby in a garbage can.
Now that's a story. That tells you, oh, wow, okay.
Look, what I'm saying is back in the 80s, the kids did the right thing. Gary, you're up.
I have another soldier story for you. This is someone comes home from the war, but there's a twist.
Uh-oh.
And we're gonna take it to the twist part. This is from New Order. It's called Love Vigilantes. And Matt, if you go to 2 minutes and 20 seconds. About this. This is the soldier singing.
Then I looked into her hand and I saw the telegram. Said that I was a great, great man, but that I was dead.
What? But you're ghost!
My family, my wife and child, waiting for me. I've got to go home. I've been so alone.
Matt, would you do me a favor? Would you play the great opening little drum bit on that? That always fires me up. Thanks for ruining the ending, jerk. Anyway, so that's a New Order.
I like that. Now, the guys, the vocal in the middle there a little bit sounded like Nils Lofgren a little bit.
Oh, I guess maybe, huh? Yeah, I never thought of it that way.
I like that. I don't know if I know any New Order.
You should check it out. I think you'd like it.
I like that.
It's a little new wavy, but
that's pretty good.
Yeah, I think maybe I'll make you a little mix or something.
Well, we're going to jump back into the 70s, Gary, because in the 70s, yeah. I found that there were tons of story songs, stuff like "The Night the Lights Went Out in Georgia."
Oh yeah, there was.
And you know, "Billy, Don't Be Not That," but "Run Joey, Run."
Run Joey, Run.
All those kind. And I'm going to play one. This is Bo Donaldson and the Haywards.
Yes,
you know them.
Sure,
Matt.
I do now.
This is Billy, Don't Be a Hero. Let's hear the first, let's hear the opening chapter.
This is about Soldier 2.
Yeah, it is.
You guys are doing like a subcategory of the category.
I know.
War stories.
I looked across and there I saw Billy waiting to go and join the line. And with the head upon his shoulder, his young and lovely fiance. Where I stood, I saw she was crying, and through her tears, I heard her say,
I want to hear the chorus.
Billy, don't be a hero, don't be a fool with your life.
What's going on here? This guy's really not painting a very vivid picture for me. Telling you exactly what she's doing.
Very literal.
She's chewing gum. She's so jump to 211. Let's see what happens with that Billy.
Oh, no. Is this going to be another sad story?
No. Yeah,
what do you think happened to Billy?
His fiance got a letter.
Oh no.
No.
Told how Billy died that day.
Oh, this is Breaking Bad.
The letter said that he was a hero.
She told him not to be.
She should be proud he died that way. I heard she threw the letter away.
Whoa.
What little... did I tell you? Don't be a hero. Dead to me.
Yep.
Wash my hands of it.
Little drummer boy in the background.
Yeah. I know. What's that, a fife? What is that?
Is this about the Revolutionary War?
Yeah.
It might be.
Yes, yeah. Billy has an E on the end, I think. Ye old Billy. But that's even like a namby-pamby song like that in the 70s could have a cool like fuzzed out guitar.
Those were, I know, but those songs were all over the place in the 70s, those
you know,
type
there were,
of songs.
You are right, Pat. I got one right here for
oh, you.
Oh,
you do? Fantastic.
This one is A Tale of the Supernatural.
Uh-oh.
It's of a girl who's, maybe she's on the autism spectrum. There's something wrong with her. She's a little touched.
Wait, before you say,
oh, yeah.
Is this a Helen Reddy song?
It is indeed.
Oh, my God.
Did you have it on your list?
No, I don't. Oh. Almost.
And they don't. The parents don't know what to do with it. They just shut up in her room every night, and she listens to the radio. And that's when crazy things start to happen. Like, maybe a neighbor boy drops in, like, about 1:15.
And, Matt is shaking his head like he has no idea what we were playing today at all.
Yeah.
Stopping at her house is a neighbor boy with evil on his mind. Because he's been peeking in Angie's room at night through her window blind. I see your folks have gone away.
would you dance with me today? I'll show you how to have a good time, Angie, baby. When he walks in a room, he feels confused.
Yeah, break it down.
Like he walked into a play. And the music's so loud, it spins him around till his soul has lost its way. And as she turns the volume down, he's getting smaller with the sound. It seems to pull him off the ground toward the radio he's found, never to be found.
What happens? Does she kill him? Or does he mysteriously vanish or something?
I'm telling you, this song needs to be remade by Lady Gaga.
Right now.
That a boy disappeared.
What?
Everyone thinks he died. Except a crazy girl with a secret lover who keeps her satisfied.
What? Maybe.
It's so nice to be insane. No one asks you to explain.
Insanity.
Radio, oh my God.
So maybe he's still locked up there and she takes him out?
I think she shrunk him down and now he lives in her vajayjay.
This is a horror story.
It's crazy.
This is like, I'm reacting to this the way I reacted to when I saw Rosemary's Baby in college. Like it's that freaky 70s, like, I don't know what's happening. This is a drug-induced nightmare.
Music by Dean Koontz, lyrics by Stephen King.
They would play this 20 times a day right next to Dark Lady. And
it's crazy.
That was like an after school special about not peeping.
Yeah, exactly. That's what'll happen to you.
All right. Now this is wild. This is what's coming up right now is crazy. In 1989,
yes,
Kiss releases an album called Hot in the Shade.
Sure they do.
Ace Frehley releases an album that same year called Trouble Walking.
Mm-hmm.
Both of these albums have the same song on them.
What?
Is he still in the band?
No,
at that
he's
point?
Not in the band at that. But he hasn't been in the band for years at that point. It's a song called "Hide Your Heart," and this is one of those rocker story songs. You know, the ones that always have like a Gino or a Gina and what we're going to do here? This is going to be fascinating. We're going to let Paul Stanley and Kiss kick off the first verse. Let's hear it. There's trouble. This is "Hide." Tito. She was in possession like a jewel on his crown. Johnny, better run. Now stop that. Now what we got here, we got a crazy love triangle going on.
Okay,
we got Gino and Tito and Rosa, and someone's not supposed to be with someone, and I think there's a Johnny in here, but now we'll go to Ace Frehley's version from the same year. He's gonna let us know what happened to these crazy kids.
Johnny's holding Rosa on the rooftop in the night. As time stood still, they couldn't hear him come until he had them both in sight. You could feel a chill.
Uh-oh.
A shot ran out like thunder and the blood was on her hands. With nothing won.
Damn it. That song was so good it had to be recorded twice in the same
now
year.
What's the story there? Is there a tale hanging there? Like who wrote this POS and why did both of them have to like do it? Like
it must have been Ace Frehley, right? He wrote it and then
No, Paul Stanley co-wrote it, I think, with like Holly Knight and maybe Desmond Child.
Okay,
and I don't know how they agreed to. You can record it too, Ace. I guess if there's money involved.
Whatever you do, don't tell Ace about this.
But why would he do it? What a weirdo! Like you kicked me
sure
out of the
Gene's
band. Well, watch this. I'm going to record this song you're putting out.
Gene said, don't let Ace do it. And then Paul said, let me tell you something, Gene, we can make money on this.
Money, did you say?
He can record it and screw my wife.
If there's money.
So that, I found so many of those heavy metal songs that are story songs.
It's amazing how much metal is like story.
I mean, yeah, there's tons of Bon Jovi ones.
That's what I was going to say. I don't want to give anything away by looking at your list, but I'm shocked you don't have a Bon Jovi song.
I know.
They're all stories.
I know they are. And it's always... Again, there's also always a Gina or a Johnny or a Tina or a Tony.
Tommy used to work on the docks.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah. It's. But they could really be singing about anything.
But there's the stories are so banal and cliche that you actually can't even listen to them. You're like, my mind started wandering 10 seconds into that.
I know. I agree. All the metal songs like that, they're just all full of cliches. It's crazy.
But I guess there's something romantic, you know, like kids want to think like, one of these days the chips are going to be down and I'm going to have to prove myself
right
on the mean streets.
You know, some kid in 89 was going, yeah, man, this is how I feel.
Yeah, exactly. Probably. Yeah,
well, so. It's like country music. I mean, like, it's so... It's so down the middle that it kind of becomes universal in a way, and it like hits that thing of like, oh yeah, we've all been there.
Yep.
Up next, I have one that's like, you know the song "Take the Money and Run."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
this is that story if they decided not to rob the bank. Like,
okay.
If they just, two young lovers with nothing better to do. They just hang out and
is this Jack and Diane?
No, it's
sucking a chili dog.
That's, at least they suck chili dogs.
That is true.
This is from the first Steve Malcolmist solo album, and it's called Jen and the S Dog. And you could just, it's just like, it puts like a CinemaScope camera on this like really, like you say, banal, average like hippie couple.
All right.
And just makes and turns their story like into this full blown epic where nothing happens, but it's at the same time there's something touching about it.
Let's hear it.
So let's hear that from the top.
Jennifer dates a man in a 60s cover band. He's the S Dog, Sean, if you wish. She's 18, he's 31. She's a rich girl, he's the son of a Coca-Cola middleman. Kiss when they listen, two brothers. Something wrong with this. They don't see the harm. You join in their forces and singing along.
I think the dog comes in here.
See those rings on her toes. Check that frisbee in his Volvo. It's a Volvo with ancient plates. They've got a dog, she named Trey, a retriever with a braid, bandana, red.
This part's great.
Trey has a window into their relationship.
So he had a dog named Trey.
That is awesome.
That's cool.
Anyway, yeah, that's a great album for story songs there.
The dog's name was Trey.
Yeah. She had toe rings.
He had a window into the relationship.
He had a window into the relationship.
It's hilarious. Right? The fact that the guy's name is the S Dog is hilarious. That song is great.
The dog being named Trey made me think of the worst drummer in rock and roll is Trey Cool.
Oh, right.
From Green Day.
But we walked by him in San Francisco.
Yes, we did.
There's a story for you.
Yeah.
We walked by Trey Cool.
And didn't say anything
to
him.
He's overweight now.
Because who cares? But you know what Green Day's doing right now? They're releasing three albums over the next, over the next 6 months. Oh. The first one's called Uno. Second one's called Dose, and the last one's called Trey. Each one of them has, I think Billy Joe's on the first one. Mike Dirnt is on the second one, and Trey will be on Trey. But I guess they're all going to be like different styles of music, each individual one. And it
have we learned nothing from Kiss?
I know it sounds like it might be fun, but we'll see.
I guess
because after doing all these big overblown, like Broadway,
they don't know how to
things,
go back to just being a rock band.
Yeah, so I think that's what they're trying to do. I think these are going to each have 10 songs on. And
wow, that's a lot.
I know. It's 30 songs over 6 months. If Green Day's your favorite band,
nice,
enjoy it.
Except each song is going to be 90 seconds long.
Trey on the front. Trey Cool.
So is each album going to like be sort of... The first one will be vocal-centric, second one guitar-centric, third one
No, it's something like the first one's going to be
drums.
Like more punky. The second one's going to be like story songs. I think the last one might even have some symphony stuff on. I don't know.
Mm.
We'll see what they're going to do. Right. It should be interesting.
I think you're up. What do you have a story for us?
This guy. This guy is deceased now. Harry Chapin.
Yes.
And this is from an album called Heads and Tails, T-A-L-E-S.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure this guy only ever wrote story songs.
Yeah.
This will be the longest clip I've ever played on here. It's about a minute and 15 seconds. But, I mean, this is, and we can talk over it too, but this is
I want to hear the story.
This is a song called Taxi.
Sure.
And
he just talks about his favorite taxi.
Here we go.
In Frisco, I needed one more fare to make my night. A lady up ahead waved to flag me down. She got in at the light. Oh, where you going to?
my lady blue.
Pause it.
It's a shame.
Okay, first of all, yeah. I just want to tell all cab drivers out there, that's a creepy way yes. when any woman is getting in your cab to say, where are you going, Lady Blue? I would say, do not do that.
My Lady Blue.
But that is what San Francisco cab drivers are like, though.
In my Lady
to
Blue.
To a man. They will creep you the F out.
And this is in Frisco, too. He said right up top,
that's what
Frisco.
I mean. That's like a unique... I feel like the only white cab driver I've ever had was in San Francisco. You know, like most places you go, right, it's right. like someone Middle Eastern or, you know...
Some ethnic. Ethnicity.
Yeah,
I don't know
Jamaican
why, but it's
or you know whatever.
Some stereotypes are true.
Yeah, well, that's fine. They've come to this country. They need to you know make their way, and that's a good way to earn some money. But San Francisco, it's like you get these hippie burnouts, and they're calling everybody Lady Blue.
Step into my cab, my Lady Blue. Okay, let's continue. Let's find out what happens.
Your gown in the rain.
Talks about her dress.
She just looked out the window. She said 16 pops had laid.
Oh, a little cold. A little icy.
What happened, Lady Blue?
I know. I thought we had a connection. It's like the last Green Day.
Something about her was familiar. I could swear I've seen her face before. But she said, I'm sure you're mistaken. And she didn't say anything more.
That's an icy bitch.
Take the hint. She doesn't want to talk to you.
Close the privacy screen, please.
In the mirror.
Wait, what's happening?
Then she glanced at the license for my name. A smile seemed to come to her slowly. It was a sad smile, just the same. And she said, how are you, Harry? I said, how are you, Sue? Through the too many miles and the two little smiles, I still remember you.
All right, that's good. So Harry and Sue. So they used to date.
They used to date.
And she's successful. Is she a successful actress or something in this?
I guess maybe something, yeah.
Yeah.
So she's probably seen him in low circumstances. Yeah. So it's a little embarrassing, but.
And so they reconnect a little bit. And then when she leaves, I think the last line of the song is, she said, Harry, keep the change.
Keep the change. Ooh, big spender.
Ooh. I said, Lady Blue, you tipped me a quarter.
So if she's an actress and he's like, you look familiar, why isn't she like, yeah, I'm an actress.
I'm that actress.
Yeah.
That's all.
I'm fucking Sue. I'm in a lot of movies. You've seen me.
Weird that he used his own name, too. Is this semi-autobiographical?
I don't know. It's one of those guys that would name check himself.
That this would never happen today because they would be Facebook friends,
right?
You know, and like, oh, Sue, I'm driving a cat. You know, so there would be the
right
reveal. But
stop posting those kitty cat memes.
Harry Chapin. I think what happened was he was like a struggling writer, probably, and like one day he got down to like, I could sell the typewriter, I could sell the guitar. And, like,
right.
He chose right. He sold the typewriter, like, because I think he had like enough stories for. A guitar, but maybe not for him.
Right. When they took the typewriter, they gave him his money. Harry, here's some change.
Here's some change. But yeah,
so many.
But P.S. that Cat's Cradle. Come on.
Yeah, that'll, Cat's Cradle. And
that'll kill any.
WOLDDDD. It's a radio station he works for.
Oh,
go ahead, Gary.
So this one, since we're kind of in a softer vein now, I wanted to play this one by my wife's favorite band, The Roaches. And they're kind of masters of like the minuscule moment. And this is that time where you have to go maybe burn some bridges at an old job, but you have to go slinking back and try and get it back. And it's called, if you could start about 15 seconds in, it's called Mr. Selak.
Mr. Selak, can I have my job back? I've run out of money again. Last time I saw ya, I was singing hallelujah. I'm so glad to be leaving this restaurant. Now the only thing I want is to have my old job back again. I'll clean the table,
same table.
Things change, you know, and sometimes you got to go
back.
The
Roaches are still active.
I think so, yeah. Yeah.
You know, when you said the Roaches, the, without knowing their music, what I mm-hmm. what I remembered of them or what I thought I remembered, I thought like an Andrew Sisters. Like a,
oh,
like
right,
a,
right, yeah.
Like a Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy type thing yeah. was going to play.
They're definitely sisters, but yeah.
That was nice.
The 70s. It's nice. Yeah, they have some good...
And that's Jane's favorite band.
I think so, yeah. Yeah, she loves to sing those songs. Usually when I'm trying to listen to something else, like, oh, this is like that Roaches song. We're Maggie and Terry and Suzzy. Shut up!
I love the Weird Al parody of that Mr. Selleck, where he's trying to get Tom Selleck's autograph. Yep.
Yep. Can I have your mustache? Yeah. Yeah. We had a fight yesterday.
Oh, who did? God.
Me and Jane.
You and Selleck?
Me and Tom Selleck.
Did you and Jane
ass.
Fight a lot?
We never fight.
What was it over?
You don't strike me as like a fighter.
Yeah. No.
You're a lover, not a fighter.
I am a lover. I'm the overweight lovers in the house. But the it was about, all our fights are about eggs. And my,
all right.
Yeah, and
was this an egg fight?
Yeah, it was an egg fight. It got personal.
An egg raid on Mojo. Yeah.
But I was the point being that yeah, that's like you need that for a story, but you don't need it in life.
Right.
You don't need conflict.
No.
Let's not ever have eggs.
You're not going to tell us about this fight?
Oh, well, she's just.
You don't have to.
It wasn't really about eggs, right?
It was well. It yeah. Then
that's a metaphor.
Eggs were a symbol.
Were you like out and this girl with big knockers walk by and you go, check out them eggs.
Check out them eggs. No, I was like...
Really bad analogy.
I know, for big knockers.
Yep. Ostriches.
Oh,
yeah, okay. Yeah. There you go.
She has like certain germ phobias and she's convinced that she's going to get salmonella from
okay.
eggs. So,
all right.
You know, you make some eggs, you want to eat it right then and then you're going to clean up. But
yeah, yeah.
So they get cold fast.
Yeah. So,
they do.
But she had to come and like... You know, you do this just to drive me crazy. So, you know, and then you get to, I don't do it just to drive me crazy. I'm going to do it later.
Right.
But
anyway. Then did you just crack an egg overhead?
I got to the point, I had the thing of eggs and I was going to throw them on the ceiling.
Oh, no, this is a big fight, Gary.
Jeez.
And she punched me.
What? She punched you?
But not, you know, kind of like not like in the jaw or something.
Don't even do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But don't you do it, Gary.
Because I wasn't going to do it, but that was, you know.
But you were threatening to do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But anyway, so.
This is a good story.
This, yeah. So this kind
forget
of
these I like songs. I like this story.
I want to go home and write a song about this egg.
But and now your is, next fight is going to be after she hears this episode.
Yeah,
I know.
Why did you tell him about
no,
that?
Because then she'll laugh about it and go, oh, wasn't that fight ridiculous?
She's got a rolling pin about it. We're already laughing about it and, you know. But,
and where's Preston when this goes on?
He was there, and he got a little scared. Yeah, so there was, it wasn't worth. So what I'm saying is, like, some like the stories aren't worth it. It's okay if it's you know things
right.
are smooth sailing. That's what I. That's the goal.
Oh man, let's.
I actually do think though, like,
because
I don't fight with my wife a lot, but like, it does sometimes make a good story. Like, do you remember the thing I told a story at Max FunCon one year?
Oh, about the garbage.
Yeah, because it just
happened.
That's
a great story.
I just got so mad because I was trying to take the trash out and the bag ripped.
Oh.
And I just listen to that episode.
Yeah.
I don't want to retell
it. It's great. It's
a great.
You can't
tap into the anger.
Yeah, you won't be able to because that was so. I was pissing my pants when you told that story.
Oh, I can't wait.
All right, so this we talked about country and how there's so many artists have country artists have
yeah,
great story songs. Garth Brooks has a ton, and I almost picked the Thunder Rolls, but that's like a dark one. If you've had a lot of dark stuff, so I picked one called That Summer, and this is about a kid coming of age for a young gentleman. And let's hear a couple verses.
I went to work for her that summer. Teenage kid so far from home. She was a lonely widow woman.
Oh, yeah.
Hell-bent to make it on her own. We were 1,000 miles from nowhere.
Oh, you know what's going to happen.
Wheat fields as far as I could see. Both needing something from each other. Not knowing yet what that might be.
Sex.
Until she came to me one evening.
What?
Hot cup of coffee and a smile. In a dress that I was certain she hadn't worn in quite a while.
Very observant, Mr. Brooks.
I know. Yep.
There was a softness in her eyes. And on the air there was a hunger. Even a boy could recognize.
Okay. She had a need. Let's jump to 142 and see how this pans out.
Oh, that dress again. Never wear that.
Here we go.
That summer wind was all around me.
You guys are nervous.
Nothing between us but the night.
You trying to seduce me?
When I told her that I'd never, she softly whispered, "That's all right." And then I watched her hands of leather.
Her hands of leather.
Goo.
It turned to velvet.
Magic.
There's never been another summer when I have ever learned so much.
That's it, buddy.
Boy.
She was like a piano teacher?
I was looking for a bigger payoff than I'd never learned so much. Come on, man. Give us some dirt.
This is very similar to how I lost my virginity.
Really?
No.
Leather?
No.
Leather was involved?
No. This, what a great summer gig for a dude.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
You're a virgin, you're in your teens, and you're going to go work for this lady, and that's it. That's summer of 42, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Remember that? Yeah.
When I was in high school, I had a summer job, and there was a woman there. I was like 17, and she was, I don't know. I guess she was probably just in her 20s, but she seemed so much older. But she was cute, and I was just like, felt like there was something like I kind of knew that maybe I could make it happen.
Right.
But like, I just didn't know how.
You didn't know how to make it happen.
Nothing. I know. It's so frustrating.
I was there for 25 years, man. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Because like, when from that perspective, it's like, you know, I don't know. I mean, for a lady like that, it's like, why not? You know,
right.
It's probably fun. Like a kid doesn't know what he's doing. You kind of get to be in control.
Right.
And,
right.
Set the tone.
And you're getting paid in a couple of ways.
What?
No, I'm talking about this guy in the Garth Brooks song. I just want to say, whether you like country music or not, Garth Brooks is fantastic.
I don't really. And I've not really listened to him.
Yeah, he's great.
What's his status? Yeah. Is he semi-retired or...
He does some shows at the Wynn in Las Vegas. He just flies in and does acoustic shows.
I see. He's just too big.
He doesn't need any money. Right. I mean, you would think that he would take. I mean, if he called up any hotel in Vegas and said, "Yeah, I'd like to do like a month residency," they'd go, "Yeah."
Right. Yeah. He's like Paul Allen of music.
Yeah, he could really just call his own shots. I think right now
cashed but, in and
Gary, what's up from you?
Let me see here. This is the point of the show where I start calculating my end game. My exit strategy? What do you got left there on the docket?
I've got three more, but I'm only going to play two more of them
because
the one I was going to play is Same Old Anxine by Dan Fogelberg, and that covers.
Oh, that's funny. I wanted to talk about that one, but that's
okay. That covers much of the same material as Taxi.
Taxi, exactly. Yeah. But
maybe a little creepier.
But maybe we might have to talk about it. But I'll have two, and I think I have a playout that I was going to try to foist on Matt.
Okay.
And act like it was his selection. But
right. Well, you're up, buddy.
This next one is about. It's like this is for a fan who, if you love that 60s stereo separation, this is the song for you. Because on your right hand side, I think, is going to be just the story, and on the left hand side is some musical freaking out. it's the Velvet Underground for White Light, White Heat, and it's called The Gift.
Ooh.
Waldo Jeffers had reached his limit. It was now mid-August, which meant he had been separated from Marcia for more than 2 months. 2 months, and all he had to show were three dog-eared letters and two very expensive long-distance phone calls.
True,
school had ended, and she'd returned to Wisconsin, and he to Locust, Pennsylvania. She had sworn to maintain a certain fidelity. She would date occasionally, but merely as amusement. She would remain faithful. But lately, Waldo had begun to worry. He had trouble sleeping at
night. Catchy, huh?
And when he did, he had horrible dreams.
I didn't know Dieter had an album.
Yeah. John Cale.
Is that John Cale?
Yeah. So basically, it's this... couple for they were going together in college. They go home. He's way more into it than she is, and he's getting lonesome for her. So he mails himself to her
in pieces.
All at once.
Could you do that?
Maybe in the 60s you could. And he makes it, but then it ends badly.
Can anyone in the Velvet Underground sing? I mean, I love Lou Reed, but man, they're not really that great. Yeah. Does John Cale actually sing sometimes?
He could probably carry a tune. I don't know.
Yeah, sometimes they don't seem like they can carry tunes even, but all right.
In a bucket.
Oh my God, I just saw what you're playing, Pat.
Next.
I was thinking about this as a play out if you guys didn't have.
This is the greatest. This might be the greatest.
This, if you want to talk about this, awesome twist endings.
Yeah, and we'll hear the ending. We're going to hear the opening, and then we'll jump to the ending. So this is from 1990. I'm not even going to say what. Just play it.
A rainy night.
When he came into sight, standing by the road, no umbrella, no coat.
Guy's wet, is what you say.
And she says, Lady Blue.
He accepted with a smile. So we drove.
It's stopping. Okay. First of all, Ann Wilson's voice, no matter what she's singing, her voice is amazing.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right. Now.
She's a whore.
this song is called All I Want to Do Is Make Love to You.
Right.
So now we got Ann Wilson. She's trolling around in the rain, hoping that there's some...
Looking for some drifter.
Some drifter. Doesn't care. It could be Rutger Hauer from The Hitcher. She doesn't care. Let's get this guy in.
This was irresponsible in 1990 be suggesting you should do this.
Right. And then what happens in the second half of the song, they make love.
This really does have a three... It there's does. Like three verses, yep. And each verse has like extent takes the story.
They make love, and then that's it. She doesn't want anything else to do.
Go their separate ways.
They go their separate ways, and then what happens, Matt?
This is crazy, you guys.
It's crazy what happens.
You haven't heard this
horror story.
I'm assuming most people listening haven't heard this.
I never listened to it this closely.
It's a forgotten relic of the 80s.
This might have been a number one song.
Then it happened one day. We came around the same way. You can imagine his surprise when he saw.
Did we skip the part where she has a son?
What? No, you're going to find it out.
And what he couldn't give me, oh, was the one little thing that you can.
Yeah.
Okay, so pause in case people missed that.
Because I feel like there's a part in the middle where she explains she has a kid.
Well... What happens here is they meet up.
This is like Ulysses or something.
They meet up. Let's say they meet up. They meet up at Target. She's got the kid's with her.
Yeah.
And she runs into this guy, the drifter, mm-hmm. Rucker Hauer. And he sees the kid and immediately knows.
Look, he's got his own eyes. That kid's got my eyes.
We have the same eye. That's my kid. And then she explains to him, please understand.
I'm a whore.
I'm in love with another man. No,
but her husband couldn't get her pregnant.
That guy.
And he said, and she says, and the, what'd she say?
What he couldn't give me was the one
thing. Little thing that you can.
So basically, she just went out to find a sperm donor.
Yeah.
Sperm jacked him.
Yeah, and that song went to number two on the Billboard Hot 100, went to number two on the mainstream rock tracks, and number six at Adult Contemporary. And that was written... by Mutt Lang.
No kidding.
Mutt Lang, who produced AC/DC, Def Leppard, you know, all these heavy bands.
And that's why he left Shania Twain, because she couldn't overproduce him in air.
That's right.
That's what my act.
All I want to do is make love to you. Robert John Mutt Lang. So that's
crazy. Wow, that is...
That's a crazy story, man.
I never listened to it that closely.
Oh, you shouldn't.
That's like...
No one did.
That's like Ruby taking her love to town or something.
Your turn, my man.
Boy, you know...
My brother.
What I love about this week after every show, how everybody kind of reminds you what you missed. So there's just like...
Right. There's going to be a million this week.
There's a million of them. So I look forward to that. Please tell us on Facebook or Twitter.
You guys should do another, like maybe in 6 months, do another story episode.
We can.
There's a lot of good
stuff. We can repeat almost every one of our...
Exactly.
Our topics.
Van Halen.
Maybe not.
Well, not Van Halen. You can't do another Van Halen.
I am going to give the shaft to the Mendoza line. We're not going to hear Aspect of an Old Maid. I'm sorry. Because it's a bring down after a story like that. But this was one that...
That's an uplifting whore song I played. about birth and giving in children.
I started to play this back at the... what do you call it? The road trip story. But then we ran out of time. So perfect time now to revisit the Hold Steady. A band with every song is a great story song. You know, they're kind of like in a Junior Springsteen-esque way.
Okay.
Just, you know, tons of characters and tons of colorful situations. But this is one that's like a little bit spare with the details, but you can still piece it together. It's called Sequestered in Memphis, and it's about Pau Gasol in his pre-Lakers time. But, no, if you could start this about 1 minute in, Matt, we'll... You see, it's a guy telling his story to the cops about what happened.
All right.
And,
Sorry.
Exactly which bathroom to. Doesn't make any difference. It can't be important. Yes, sure, I'll tell my story again. In barlight, she looked all right. In daylight, she looked desperate. That's all right, I was desperate too.
A great detail in this song is like, nah, we didn't go back to her place. We went to some place where she cat sits. That's a good detail.
I've never really heard the Hold Steady. I love that.
I think you would really like it.
Yeah, that sounded very Springsteen.
Very much so.
And again, Bruce, there were no Bruce songs today for me, and he's got a ton story songs.
You
yeah.
skipped the two Jersey troubadours.
I know. Well, next time. Next time we'll load you up with some.
We tried a curveball.
Yeah,
know,
like, yeah, that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to throw out some stuff like Hide Your Heart by Kiss and Ace Frehley.
Exactly.
So I'm going to close it up with something that I'm sure will make Jimmy Pardo very happy. Excellent. This is a story song from 1979. I'm not going to tell you what it is. I'm just going to tell you that there is some fiddle in it. So let's hear.
Oh, wait a minute. And the playout song, I think, is kind of a tribute to that song.
Yes.
Oh, this is interesting.
Oh, this is crazy.
Let's do it. Let's hear it.
The devil went down to Georgia. He was looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind because he was way behind and he was willing to make a deal. When he came across this young man sawing on a fiddle and playing it hot, and the devil jumped up on a hickory stump and said, "Boy, let me tell you what. I guess you didn't know it, but I'm a fiddle player, too."
Did not know that.
"If you care to take a dare, I'll make a bet with you. Now, you play pretty good fiddle, boy, but give the devil his due. I bet a fiddle of gold against your soul, because I think I'm better than you." The boy said, "My name's Johnny, and it might be a sin, but I'll take your bet, and you're going to regret, because I'm the best as ever been. Johnny, you're awesome, up your bow and play your fiddle hard."
Hubris.
Now let's jump and see what happens. How's the story play out?
Not since that Pacquiao fight has there been a decision as lame as Devil gets robbed is what happens.
Devil's not a smart guy.
The devil bowed his head because he knew that he'd been beat. And he laid that golden fiddle on the ground at Johnny's feet. Johnny said, "Devil, just come on back if you ever want to try again. I done told you once, you son of a bitch, I'm the best as ever been."
Oh, no, he did it! Run, boy,
run! Oh, there's a fiddle.
Devil's in the house of the rising sun. The chicken in the bread pan, I'm picking out dough.
Grandma doesn't have no child, no.
Now, when I was growing up, the radio station we listened to was WFBG.
Yeah.
Out of Altoona. It was an AM station. And they only played the version that said, "I done told you once, you son of a gun.
You son of a gun." Mm-hmm. Not the same impact.
No, not the same. Yeah. Not the same impact at all. Weak Altoona.
I listened to KFRC out of San Francisco, and they said, "I told you once, you fucking faggot." Like, what the, huh?
How'd they do that?
It's so funny how bad, like, that was, that AM radio. That's what we had in the car. Yeah. That's what we had. And it's so, like, out here, radio, I don't know why Radio Disney is only on AM radio.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
You would think that Disney would spring for maybe an FM station
boost
somewhere.
It a little, yeah.
But AM radio sounds terrible.
It does. Yeah. Hey, I have another playout that I kind of want to play. Okay, so, but let's do your song.
Let's do yours,
because okay,
we can't skip this now.
Matt's always like pressuring us to play more Tenacious D. So it's here's a song that's kind of like inspired by or based on or about or kind of, you know, kind of like along the same lines as the one we just heard. It's called Tribute.
greatest and best song in the world.
Set the bar low.
Tribute. Long time ago, me and my brother Kyle here, we was hitchhiking down a long and lonesome road. All of a sudden, there shined a shiny demon in the middle of the road. And he said, play the best song in the world, or I'll eat your soul. Well, me and Kyle,
how will this turn out?
At each other.
There's only one way it can go.
Set. Okay. And we played the first thing that came to our heads. Just so happened to be the best song in the world. It was the best song in the world. Look into my eyes and
so, two things about that. One, the original version of this, they went right at that point, they would play like at live shows and everything. They would start playing the bridge to Stairway to Heaven, which was hilarious in and of itself.
That's great.
And then this also has a funny twist to it, which is that if you hear the rest of the song, this is actually not the greatest song in the world because they couldn't remember it.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
This is just a tribute to the to song the they played that day.
Oh, that's
day.
Great. That's great.
So like you will never, we'll never get to hear that right. song that, that the bested the devil.
Well. Yeah, should have been there. You should have been there.
You just had to be there.
Yeah. So what is your playout?
So yeah, playout, this is another one that'll make Jimmy happy.
Thanks, Gary. Thanks, Matt.
Yeah.
Thanks,
Matt. Like us on Facebook. And do that thing on.
Thanks,
Twitter.
Preston, for the idea for today's show. Appreciate it.
This is I feel like this guy is an unsung master of the story song. Ellis Paul. We got to meet him. We did a show with him.
Yes, we did
in Atlanta, and he was awesome.
Couldn't have been nicer to put up with our jackassery.
Yeah.
Especially me, because I had to sit right next to him. Never met him before.
Yeah,
I was in.
But he's great, and this is, I think, from the most recent album he put out called The Day After Everything Changed. This is the first track, and he played it at that show, and I became a fan. Just
kick out
from
the lights?
No, that's not on an album yet.
Oh, damn it.
That's hopefully it'll be on his next one. But this is called Anna Lee, and I didn't know about this guy until Jimmy had him on our show, and I just became a fan because he's great. So this
Ellis
is
Paul.
And this is like, this is a classic young love, you know, coming of age story. You'll get it when you hear it, but enjoy.
Rock solid.
I'm skipping stones at the edge of the dark. A fog came rolling in quiet like a hawk. The river so smooth it could shatter with a rock. Felt like I was walking on water. Then the doctor's daughter came and dove right in. Lord Almighty, she's nothing but skin. I could turn my head, but she may never come again. She's filling the sky with her laughter.